The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on September 10, 1995 in Denmark. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 9, Text 20.
भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जायमुदीयजे मुखाकरोति वाचालं पङ्गुर्लं गायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनचारिणं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 20. My dear Lord, everyone in this material world is under the modes of material nature, being influenced by goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone, from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the small ant, works under the influence of these modes. Therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy. The cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life they have considered final, and the process for obtaining this goal, all are nothing but manifestations of your energy. Indeed, since the energy and energetic are identical, all of them are but manifestations of you. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Whether one thinks himself protected by his parents, by the government, by some place, or by some other cause, everything is due to the various potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything that is done, whether in the higher, middle, or lower planetary systems, is due to the supervision or control of the Supreme Lord. It is therefore said, Karmana daiva netrena Jantur Deho Papathaye. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul within the core of everyone's heart, gives inspirations for action according to one's mentality. All of these mentalities are merely facilities given by Krishna to the person acting. Bhagavad Gita therefore says, Matasmitir Ganam Apohanam Cha. Everyone works according to the inspiration given by the Super Soul. Jai Sisi Gaurani Tai Ki. Because everyone has a different goal in life. Everyone acts differently as guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words yasmin yato yahi yena cha yasya yasmat indicate that all activities, whatever they may be, are but different features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of them are created by the living entity and fulfilled by the mercy of the Lord. Although such activities are not different from the Lord nonetheless directs Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Saranam Raja. Translation: give up all other duties and surrender unto me. When we accept this direction from the Lord, we can actually become happy. As long as we work according to our material senses, we are in material life. But as soon as we act according to the real transcendental position or direction of the Lord, our position is spiritual. The activities of bhakti, devotional service, are directly under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Narada Pancharatra states, Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha sevannam bhaktiruchate. When one gives up materially designated positions and works directly under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's spiritual life is revived. This is described as Swarupena Avastiti, being situated in one's original constitutional position. This is the real description of mukti, or liberation from material bondage. Om Tat Sat. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport to the seventh canto, ninth chapter, 20th verse in the matter of Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Srimad Bhagavatam Grantaraja Ki. So here, Prahlad is offering prayers to Lord Narasimhadeva. He's offering prayers which are in themselves, each one is a thesis in transcendental knowledge. His prayers are so authoritative that they're so inspired by the Lord Himself. Each one of them is a form of spiritual evidence, spiritual pramana, revealing great esoteric truths about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our relationship with the Lord, the nature of the material manifestation. Prahlad is only 5 years old by material calculations, a Kumara. But he's blessed by Narasimhadeva. And he's a bona fide disciple coming in the Brahma Sampradaya. He's in the same disciplic succession that we are coming in. But his guru is Narad Muni. Very good. His spiritual master is Narad, the second guru. We're coming down in the disciplic succession, another 34, 33 levels. Taking shelter of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The transcendental knowledge is preserved through the disciplic succession. Now this verse gives us an interesting perspective on the material nature. First, Prahlad mentions that the whole world is under the three modes: goodness, passion, ignorance. We have heard that many times, but it's important to understand how, so long as one is within the three in the material consciousness, one is bound to get tossed around by the three modes. If you're on the ocean, then the waves, as well as the wind, they all have their effect. So the three modes are creating the environment in this material world. And everyone in the material nature is under these modes. Right from Brahma down to the ant. Ant being symbolic, that doesn't mean the ones smaller than ants aren't also under that. I mean, that's just there are many smaller microorganisms. They're also under the three modes. So Prahlada is establishing the case that everyone in the material world is influenced by the Lord's energy. You see, so someone may say, well, since everybody is working under the energy of the Lord, then what's the question of being Krishna conscious? They're already working under the energy of the Lord. You see, but this is a separated energy of the Lord. Bibhinangso, Bibhina Shakti. The Bahiranga Shakti. And although the energy of the Lord is a manifestation, an expansion, a non-different aspect of the Lord, but those activities which are under His separated energy or under His external energy, rather, they are not considered direct, but they're considered indirectly connected. Because although the Lord manifests the material world, He doesn't directly involve Himself with the activities of the material nature. Unless somebody is actually surrendered to the Lord, Tesan sadada juktanang bachatang priti purgam dadami bhuti yogam tam yenu mama payanti te. If someone is always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, then the Lord is giving intelligence how to come. But if someone has a different goal in life, which is mentioned here, that different people have got different goals. Therefore, they work in different ways. So we can understand from this verse how important it is to fix our goal in the right place. The cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life they have considered final. And the process for obtaining this goal, all are nothing but manifestations of your energy. So even though everything is a manifestation of the Lord's energy, if the goal that someone has taken as final, like some people, their final goal might be, I want to be a world famous musician. I mean, many musicians, they're just really into it. They want to make it. After 3 years, you see them, they've been working the circuit and the nightclubs. I'm going to get a break. I'm going to perform with a big actor, with a big one, and I'm going to get a break. And their final goal in life is, you know, they want to get a break. They want to have a big movie, a big, music break. Or someone, they want to get a play on Broadway. Or for someone, it's to be the marathon gold medalist. Right? The Olympics are coming up next year. There's some people that are working out every day, doing their push-ups and their running and everything. And for them, the final goal in their life, I mean, they're not really thinking necessarily too far. Right now, they've just focused. Gold medal, or at least a silver, a bronze, something, some medal, gold medal in the Olympics. I happened to be in Thailand after the last Olympics. And small countries, they don't get so many medals. In fact, some don't get any. And Thailand had one person got a medal, bronze medal for boxing. When he came back, they had, massive reception, flowers and tipper takes from the buildings going through the whole city in the open. Carcade, honking the horns, and people, it was like, heroes, welcome, because you got the bronze medal. Because probably if you're in Russia or America, then Germany, they get so many medals, nobody, maybe get a shake of hands with some politician or something, and that's about it. But there he was, the hero's welcome, you know, even though he was third place in one element. But it just came in a paper in India, where they didn't get any medals in the Olympics, but one of the ladies who was the national champion in a particular sport they play, it's called kabaddi. I don't know, in the West they don't know this sport. This is a nice sport. Prabhupada said Gurukul could play it because they could chant the holy names. I won't go into the description of the game. It's a team game where you have to chant something. You chant kabaddi, 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 and you have to tackle the opponents and things like that. So this particular lady, she was in the national champion team for 5 years. But they had a big front page article. There she was selling sabjis in Bihar somewhere. 33 years old, now she's over the hill. She's no longer in the team anymore. And she says, look at, she was the national champ. She was a big hero. She was getting so many perks and things. And now she doesn't have enough food to eat. She's sitting there selling, you know, from 6 in the morning till 8 or 9 o'clock at night, selling vegetables, you know, in a market, which is like one of the poorest occupations you could get even in India. I mean, in India at least. I don't know, maybe in other places it's not so bad. But so they were lamenting, look at, now where is the justice? Here's the national champ. And, you know, she doesn't even have food to eat. So the people, they set different goals. Right? Once they get the goal, then they had to like reevaluate, now what? Because as long as we set goals which aren't the ultimate goal, once you get it, then you have to see, well, you know, it's like you get up to the mountain, and now where we go from here? Now you got to get back down, right? So it's much harder to get down the mountains than up. Or they get to some particular goal, and then that's what some of these great performers, they get their name and fame, and they're still not happy. They get so frustrated, they commit suicide. They don't know where to go from there. They don't, because they don't have any idea what is the real goal of life. So you get these people setting some temporary goal, and they want that. So here the super soul, he's committed to helping people get their goals to the limit of their karma. But they set all these worthless goals, goals which after achieving, again, you're still in trouble. You still have to eat, you still have to go on and do something. So Prahlad, he's understanding how the Lord is working. But what is Prabhupada explaining here? That ultimately all these duties, all these goals, none of them, and if it's not actually his service, then it's all a waste of, it's ultimately, it's just not the real thing we should be working for. Maybe as an intermediate or as a not as a final goal. If somebody takes something as an occupation and within their occupation they want to achieve success, all right. But if they take that as their final goal, see, then they're really deluded. That's the, all the devotees, they may do so many activities. Those devotees who are working in society, they may do so many. But in their mind they understand that none of these are the ultimate goal. Even if I achieve it or don't achieve it, that doesn't mean that that's the perfection of life or the failure in life. Because the ultimate perfection of life is to achieve pure devotion for Krishna. So that's why there's a, everyone in the world has got all these different kind of goals. And whether it's business or whether maybe someone to go, I was flying over and it was ridiculous. I didn't put on the headphones or anything. It's too ridiculous a thing. But there's a movie, something, Muriel's Marriage, Wedding. And some girl, I don't know, but you can know, you just can't avoid, you know, it's the, can't currently glance up and you see what the plot is. You can figure it out. It doesn't take, it's not too deep. Her goal in life was she wants to get married. By hook or by crook. So finally, you know, I don't know. But the whole thing's a big failure. I mean, I got to know all the detail, but you could tell it was a failure. She, you know, it wasn't what she really wanted. So once she got it. So this is a problem. We may have so many intermediate goals. Those aren't so crucial. Because we're bound to have, as Prabhupada said, as a matter of course, we have to take precaution for our protection. But ultimately, our only protection is Krishna. A mother and father, They take precaution. They have to protect the child, get medicine, get the doctor. But ultimately, nobody can guarantee that they can save their child. In spite of the best doctors, in spite of the best precautions. It doesn't mean you don't take them. But doesn't mean then you depend on them absolutely. The difference is that transcendental knowledge means you know that ultimately we have to depend on Krishna. And this is what people lack today. This is what Sarva Dharma and Pratityaja means, that we really depend on Krishna. So something, and we do it practically, that is our primary protection. That doesn't mean it's like fanatical to only depend on Krishna if we don't use medicine or you don't see a doctor. But you know that if it's going to work, it'll work because Krishna allows it to work. If we get a doctor that's really the right doctor that can cure us, it's Krishna's mercy. And if we don't get cured, then we know that Krishna wants us to take us back. So this is the big difference between a Krishna-conscious devotee and a normal religious person. That's why you get so many religious people say, why does God allow these things to happen? And then you ask the priest, it's a mystery. I don't know, it's a mystery. The unspeakable, unfathomable ways of God, you know. But here in the Bhagavatam, it's laid out exactly why Krishna works the way he does. You know, it's so unfortunate that there's not that developed interfaith, environment yet where the people from different religions could take advantage of this wisdom, understanding the Vedas. And we respect all scriptures, we find truth in all scriptures, that the Vedas are giving us wisdom which are otherwise inaccessible. So they could get so much information instead of speculating and beating their heads on the walls and trying to, why does this happen? You know, he explains why, how Krishna works, how he's relating. Because people have assigned their different goals in life, right? Some people's goal is the freedom of Bosnia from the Serbs, and other for the Serbs it's to get their own country, and then someone else within Bosnia and or separate from Bosnia, and then everyone's got their different goals. So Prabhupada said, why do you blame God? Look at, like, you get someone, there's a householder, his goal is I don't get robbed by the thieves, and he's praying, God save me that I don't get robbed. And then you got a robber, and his goal is how I can rob a householder. And he's praying, God, please allow me to rob this person and not get caught. I have a poor family. I have no way to eat. I have no other way to live. I can't get a job. So help me that I can rob this person and not get caught. Now, whose side does God take? It's a very difficult situation. So, of course, because one person is theoretically honest person, so Prabhupada explains that Krishna gives some help, little advantage to that. Maybe some warning, some indication, but if they're really spaced out and they don't aren't conscious about it, then they're going to get robbed. So just like he said, the tiger is depending on God to get his food, and the deer is depending on God, I don't get eaten by the tiger. But tigers eat deer. So then who gets the break? So then, the Lord, he gives some little rodent, some kind of guinea pig type of rodent is there that goes with the tiger. And the tiger is there. And when we do our preaching and then the Sundarbans, they tell us the tiger stories. I mean, you can sit up for hours if you want to spend the time hearing about tigers, but they want to tell you after a while, it's okay, I think about Krishna, but you know. When you're right there and they said, oh, did you hear that tiger? Wham! And in the jungle, you think, you know, for the next 15 minutes, you know, you're kind of open for tiger stories. Until you get overdosed. Okay, that's enough. Let's think about Narsingadeva. But they say how, you know, they can walk. You can't hear them. They walk so softly. In spite of being so big, they're really big, you know, 500 kilos plus sometimes. 8, you know, 2.5, 3 meters, even they get length. So you count the tail, it's a lot longer. So they're a very big cat, but they walk, you don't make any sound. This is that the fishermen, they go in the the people go in the jungle, they go in little canals. The tiger's smart. He knows that this guy's going to, you know, he's in the canal. There's only one way he can go, that way and this way, and he's going this way. So they go up the river. They have intelligence to how to catch their prey. And they wade in, and the stripes, all these bushes there all look like those stripes everywhere. So you look everywhere. You can see a tiger in every bush. You don't know, you can't see that. And they crunch up, and they become very small. And when the boatman comes by, he's looking up, looking. Where is he looking? Looking for the honeybees. They go in the jungle to get honey. So they look for the high, look where the bees are going, you know. They're not looking, but the tiger is looking up. He says, when they jump, he says, they become, you know, it's like elongated. And they become so long, and with one hit, immediately break the neck of the person. It's over in 1 second. And they don't even hear now. They just hear that little. So they tell you all these stories, you know, and they think, "Would you like to go in the Sunderbans?" Well, okay, we'll take you by boat, where you know it's all safe, you know. Okay. So there's a little rodent. You know, here that poor deer is there, and the tiger's hiding by the water hole, and this little rodent comes out, chee 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 chee, makes a sound. Hopefully it came out when the fisherman was there too, but if he's too much, you know, with the birds and the bees up there, too much looking at the bees and, you know, everything, doesn't hear the sound. What the hope does, at least a deer can run. What is this fisherman can do? You know that story about the young carpenter and the tiger? You forgot. There was a young carpenter, he was going into the jungle with his saws and implements, and one old carpenter was walking by and said, "Where are you going?" "I'm going into the jungle." "What for?" "I'm going to get wood. And with my, I'm going to, you know, it's, I need to build some furniture and sell it and maintain my family. I can't afford to buy the wood from the market. I'll get it free from the forest." "But where's your gun?" "You know, there's tigers in there. It's dangerous. You have to go with some weapon. Otherwise, you know, you could get eaten." And the old carpenter, "You go back, get a gun, and you know." He went, he had his gun over his shoulder, and he walked. The young guy said, "What does the old guy know? I got my saw. If a tiger comes, I'll just saw off a branch from a tree, and I'll start swinging the branch around my head, and I'll drive away the tiger." "Good idea." "What do you think?" So he goes in, and he gathered so much wood and everything. You know, and then, "Jai Sisi Gauri Nithai, Nithai Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bol." Jai Gauri Nithai Ki. So, across the clearing, there's a little baby tiger, only like 4 years old, only like 2 meters long, just a baby, running over. And then the carpenter sees him, and he takes out his saw, you know, and he's trying to chop the... Chopping, you know, kind of sawing the branch. But before he can finish sawing, the tiger leaps. It's all over. Curtains. He never thought, you know, that, well, when a tiger is attacking you, it's not all the time in the world to sit there sawing branches. You have to act fast. You only get a few seconds. Or a second, maybe, just a moment. So, when the news came back to the village that the young carpenter got killed by the tiger, right, another tiger story. So everyone was very sad. A few days later, one devotee came to the village, and he started to chant Hare Krishna and got everyone to chant, set up a little namhad over there. Got everyone to listen to Bhagavatam class, Gita class, and then, but the next morning, everyone got up a little late, you know, the late program, but the sadhu, the devotee, had already got up early, taken his bath, and was gone. So where'd he go? He says, "Went into the jungle." "The jungle, man, this is the young carpenter was just killed." They said, "We better go and protect the devotee." And they all went with their guns, following his footsteps. You know, we have to protect this devotee. There's tigers in there, he doesn't know. Nobody could warn him in time. So they all went with the, you know, their guns and everything. And they went deep in the forest, you know. And before they could hear tigers, they could hear, you know, wild animals' cries. They could hear also some sound of music. So what's going on? They went, then they heard, you know, ting, 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 ching, ching, ching. They heard the kirtan. They heard this devotee chanting. And they, you know, move aside the branches and they look. There they see. He's chanting and there, the tigers, the deer, they're all doing kirtan with him. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare! And they were amazing to hear tiger, bear, deer, everyone, they're all chanting Hare Krishna, dancing. And so they looked at their guns, said, what do we need guns for? He's tamed them all. He's tamed all these wild animals. You don't need any, he doesn't need any guns if you have that power. So you understand the story? The story was told by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Each personality there, the main personalities there, representing different philosophical perspectives. So who is the young carpenter that goes in and he's prepared to save himself by sawing the branch? Not exactly. Who's the materialist? Since you said the materialist, who are the materialists? Who are the karmakandis? Which of those actors are the karmakandis? We'll take it in reverse since you're already... Huh? The old carpenter. This is a comedy of errors. Yeah, but he's not part of the story. That was another... I was just giving a background. The story begins... Huh? It works. Who's the carpenter? Who's the carpenter? Who's the one who's looking for fruitive results? Anyone knows? Not the carpenter. He's another philosophy than karmakanda. Yes. The ones who carry the guns. Right? The karmis are the one that make all these protections, right? The medicine and the this, right? They're the one who, they want this thing. I'll be happy if I have my house, if I have the car, if I have the big position in society, if I get the name, I get the fame, I'll get the big bank balance, and all these things. Then this will all protect me. These are their weapons. This, you know, and if they get all those things together to a certain degree, they have some security. But not without fear. Why? They have a gun. Why? Because they're afraid. Material life means fear. So the best you can, you set up all the defenses, but in spite of that, what are you 100% guaranteed of? Death and rebirth. You know, you can't avoid that. That Srila Harikesha, he always highlights that point. Guarantees in life. So, the materialists, they try to protect themselves with their weapons. Now, who is the young guy that got eaten? What philosophy is that? Innocent. Actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, this is like the mystic yogis. They think that they can conquer the material energy by their own efforts. They're not taking, at least see, the materialists are taking help of their weapons. So they get some certain degree of success. Eventually, they might get caught by the tiger anyway. But here the mystic yogi, he's going, and he's just depending on his own effort. But all of a sudden the senses reach out and grab him. Just like Vishwamitra was meditating, up came Menaka, the apsara, and he was distracted from his meditation, and Sakuntala was born. So simply by the mystic yoga process is not enough to control the senses when they get out of control. Now who, this is the hardest one probably, I'm being a little facetious. Who is the devotee that went in and chanted? Lord Chaitanya, pure devotee, the devotee is the pure devotee. That the devotee is the Lord Chaitanya, who is of course the incarnation of pure devotee, or he's the pure devotee. Like, so Lord Chaitanya got all the animals to dance in Jarikanda. Generally we're not able to do that. Prabhupada said, at least if we can get the human beings to chant, then we'll consider it a success. Lord Chaitanya could get the animals to chant. Right? It's not everyone can go in the jungle and get the tigers to join in the kirtan. That requires some special personality. But here, the idea is the pure devotee, he could get them to chant. But what is the, who do the tigers represent? Right, the tigers are representing these material desires. The material desires that come and attack us. So the karmis, they protect themselves, they have material desire, but they, you know, they set themselves up in such a way that, all right, I can, you know, if I have a beautiful wife, then all right, then I can, you know, stay with one wife. You know, but even then, it's not always easy. Even with all their guns and all the setups, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they get involved in sinful activities. You know, of course, now moral is such that they don't even try. You see, these are karmis who are trying to follow some morality. So they set themselves up with enough sense gratification that theoretically they should be happy. But still, it's a dangerous situation and they're not guaranteed success. But to some degree, they can maintain. Now, how is it that, you see, what these tigers are, material desires, kama, krodha, loba, mada, matsarja, moha, anger, greed, lust, the illusion, intoxication, envy, all these vices and all the desires that are connected to those vices, they were controlled by the pure devotee. So they are no longer dangerous for him. Bhakti is the only way we can be saved from these material desires, from this material contamination. Not by karma, not by jnana, not by yoga. Karma means, you know, regulative. Karmis is actually great elevated people compared to the normal run-of-the-mill materialistic people. Karmi means someone who's trying to follow the scriptural rules and regulations. There are very few karmis. Most people today are vikarmis. They are doing illicit activity, sinful activity. But if you find someone trying to follow his religious, you know, honest labor and all that, this is very rare. But there are still, that's a standard of society. The people expect that the leader should be like that, even if they're not. Right? Recently there's a big thing, I don't know much, but in the headlines it shows some big senator in America was found guilty of having improper made relations and advances and over 18 women, and there are so many an accusation and trying to get money for himself by getting a job for his ex-wife from and getting from some of the people that he would pass legislation to help them, and everyone said, this is horrible, you know, this is terrible, and he must resign, we cannot allow this. Of course, everybody knows that politicians do these things. He just got caught. You know, very hard to imagine a politician who's not doing something like this sometime. Although officially, oh, this is, everyone has to say, this is horrible. And they're all thinking, oh, I hope I don't get caught. I hope they don't find the skeletons in my closet. But officially, they all have to say, yes, this is very bad. So, most people, they're not following, but maybe some people might be following or trying to follow the proper way. But those are called karmis, and when they don't follow it, then it's vikarmi. But the devotee, he controls all these things because he offers everything to Krishna. Even if he has desires, but he says what desires are in harmony with what Krishna. He wants to be a musician, that's all right, but then do music to glorify Krishna. Use your musical ability that Krishna's glories will be expanded. If any fame comes from that, all right, that's Krishna's mercy, or not. Because anyway, one will only get ultimately what you're going to get. But the thing is to keep the final goal to be Krishna conscious. And don't do anything which will compromise your final goal. Anything which is neutral or which is neutral, which is also essential, or anything which is conducive to reaching the final goal, then you can do that. Anything which is an obstruction, then you should avoid it. Anukulena pratikulena bharjanam anukulenam grahanam. Take what is favorable, reject what is unfavorable. This is the principle of bhakti. So someone's an artist, they can use their, either they paint pictures of Krishna or they do art, and with the money they gain from that, they use that for Krishna's service. Somehow they use their ability to serve Krishna. Then in this way, it's not an obstacle. This is like Kolavecha Sridhar. Here he's a sincere devotee. He's growing his bananas. And with his income, 50% he uses to worship the Mother Ganges. So the neighbors, they tell him, look here, why do you spend 50% of your income to worship the Ganges? This is my dharma. My guru ordered me to worship the Ganges. So this is my service. Okay, you want to worship the Ganges. But look, you're a poor man. Why don't you just for 1 year stop worshiping the Ganges, build up your capital, buy more land, get more bananas, a few papayas, you know, a few other things, you know. Increase your capital. And then, after you get a lot of money, you can do a big puja. And you can also have, you know, nice clothes and things like that. Nikola said, I'm working hard. I'm working my honest labor. If the Lord wanted, if I stop worshiping and following the orders of my guru, where's the guarantee that after 1 year, say just a little more, I may never start again. So he kept his principle so fixed. He was such an exemplary devotee. His principle, I'm going to give 50% of my income to the Ganges, no matter what. That was his principle. I said, but look at, you got a hole in your dhoti. I said, I got clothes now, don't I? I'm not naked. What's the problem? So I have a little hole, so what? You got a hole in the roof of your house. Well, this is a tropical climate, a little sunlight we get, and then sometime in the morning, what's the problem? Hey, you're a fool, you know. You don't know, you know what, you're just, you know, you think that you're a fool. But Kolavecha Sridhar, he said, this is, you know, if the Lord, you know, I'm working hard. If the Lord wanted to give me a break, I'd get one. But I'm not going to give up my devotional service. And every day he'd bring his bananas and sit in a market, and who would come to buy the bananas from him? But Lord Chaitanya, as Nimai, a small boy, he'd come, say, all right, how much are these bananas? I said, why do you ask how much? You know, I always charge you only the market rate. You don't even have to ask. No, you know, you always want more from me. And I'm a poor Brahmana. You tell me what's the, you know, the actual price. So the actual price, all right, for 8 corn shells. 8 corn shells! Why rip off? You know, why not cheat? I'm a poor, but you're charging me double, you know. Look at it, if you think, if you check in the market, am I charging you more than the market rate? You know, you won't get it less than 10 corn shells anywhere. They're 10 little, not corn shells, but these kodis, little shells. You know, 10 shells. No. You're cheating me, you're charging. Then he'd pick up the bananas and give him 4 little shells, you know. What do you mean? What do you mean? Bring back here. What? You're accusing me of taking these? Are you accusing a Brahmin of theft? You want them back? No, take it. Every day was a whole, you know, thing going on, you know. Real rasa, you know. 50, you know, it's a whole rasa going on. And then people said, why do you take it from that young Brahmin? I said, you know, I don't know. But I really like that Nimai. You know, I mean, I didn't, you know, it doesn't, you're so poor, look, it doesn't even give you the right price. You know, people get on his case. But in his heart, you know, something happened. Whenever he saw Nimai, his heart would melt. But he'd still, you know, because Nimai was getting into it, he'd get into it and he'd have this argument. But inside, you know, he actually just loved Nimai. So here, who knows who Kolavecha Sridhar is, what great devotee he is, to come and have these pastimes. So when Lord Chaitanya manifested his Mahaprakash pastime, when Advaita offered Tulsi at his lotus feet and said, you are the Supreme Lord, and Lord Chaitanya, that moment he was in this ecstasy of Krishna, his original form as the Supreme Lord. Only once or twice was he revealed that. And for 21 hours, Lord Advaita, he was doing the arti. So at that time, Lord Chaitanya, he called different, like he called Mari Gupta. And he says, "You are my pure devotee." And then he said, and just, you know, waved. And then Mari Gupta looked, and then he saw he's Hanuman. He looked up, and Lord Chaitanya was no longer there. There was Ramchandra and Sita. And it was like so overwhelming. He sees Hanuman, and boom, he faints. And when he comes, the devotees, you know, put Ganges water on, bring him back. Kirtan's going on. He looks, there he's Mari Gupta, and there's Lord Chaitanya again. It's like one after another, he'd bring different devotees, and he would reveal. Even the Ganges personified came. So many things are happening. So then, he said, "You bring Kolavecha, sweetheart." So the devotees went. There Kolavecha is out there in his banana patch, you know, working. And he looks up and there's like four or five devotees and they're completely in ecstasy. This coming from this kirtan, they've just had God realization. And he said, "What do you all want?" He said, "Lord Chaitanya wants you, you know, Nimai Gauranga wants you." "What? He's calling you, you have to come now." "Gauranga? Me?" He fainted. It's like too much. You know. He's so humble. Now Gauranga is the big leader of the Sankirtan. You know, he's there still selling his bananas. Gauranga doesn't have time to come to the market anymore. But he still loves Gauranga. So Gauranga wants to see him. It was so overwhelming. He fainted. He couldn't take it. He has so much admiration for Gauranga. So much reverence. So what to do? They didn't. They picked him up. Was taken. They all carried him over there. So they put him down in front of Gauranga, and then the kirtan's going on, and then Kolavecha Siddhar wakes up from his, and then he sees Gauranga transcendent. Gauranga, at that moment, he's giving out so much effulgence, you can't see anything. You can only see Gauranga and the devotees. The whole world disappears. You can only see the spiritual world, spiritual effulgence. So he bows down to Lord Gauranga, prostrates himself, offers his obeisances. Gauranga said, "You have served me faithfully all these years. You have served your guru's order. So now I want to give you a gift, a boon. You can have anything you want. So tell me, what is it you want?" He said, "No, I don't want anything. I'm happy. I'll give you a kingdom. You can have, instead of just taking care of these bananas, you can be a king. You can have an entire kingdom." No, I don't want to be a king. I don't want this. "Oh, tell me, what is it you want?" "Oh, you don't want a kingdom. I'll give you mystic power. Poof, you can, you know, produce anything, go anywhere. Ashta Siddhi, Lagima, Anima, Mahima, Prapti. Everything you can have, all the mystic power. Do you accept?" No, Mahaprabhu. I don't want any mystic powers." "But what do you want? You have to." You see, the Lord, and is in the Lord mood, he always to give some benediction. So he is his duty, it's his role. He gives some blessing. If Krishna ever appears before you, he offers you a benediction. And you have to say what you want. Sometimes people, that's why, like some people, they don't know. They say, well, they can ask anything. You have to know what is the supreme thing to get. And most people can have anything you want. They say, "Well, gee, I like a new car, or I like a, you know." They might ask for something, you know, which is a temporary thing. Doesn't really, you can get that just by, you know, going down and getting a job. You can get a car. If you get Vishnu, can give you anything. What is the thing to get? Said, "All right, I'm giving you which is even rare for the devas to get, rare for the demigods to get. I'll give you liberation. You can merge in the jyoti." No, I don't want to merge in the jyoti. I don't want this. So what is it you want? Tell me, what is it you want? You must take from me one boon. Sayanakolavicha Sridhar, he says, "All right, my lord, if there's something I have to ask you, then what I want is that in every one of your incarnations and all your avatars, if I could simply provide your vegetable and banana needs." And if I can simply always see that smiling face of that young Brahmin boy Nimai, this is the thing that I want most of all. But if you think I'm not qualified to serve you in your incarnations, then at least give me the blessing I can be born in a family of your devotees and I can always engage in your devotional service. And the kirtan is going on, and arti is going on, and then Lord Chaitanya said, oh, and I'm going to give you, Kolavecha Sridhar, the supreme benediction. I'm going to give you that which Brahma, Shiva, they all want. I am giving you pure Krishna prema. He gave the best, and then immediately, Kolavecha Sridhar, he achieves everything, achieves the complete love for Godhead. When the devotees realize, I hear this simple, he's a simple farmer, a simple rustic person, he doesn't have any sophistication, but he has a sincere devotion. But the Lord has given him the highest benediction of pure love. They became mad. Everyone became this thing. Gauranga! Gauranga! People start rolling on the ground, pulling their hair out. Gauranga, Gauranga, what mercy. And Kolavecha, as soon as he got the benediction from the Lord, he became, overwhelmed in ecstatic symptoms. And he is also rolling in ecstasy in front of the Lord, offering his obeisances. So here is a simple person, no PhD, no master's degree, no bachelor, probably didn't even go to high school, nothing, right? But he had a bona fide guru. And he knew that the goal of life was to have pure devotion for the Lord. He had fixed up his final goal. He had every opportunity in his life for fame, power, mystic power, liberation. Everything was offered to him. But he knew what the final goal of life, the ultimate goal, the ultimate achievement is. And he just stuck to that. He didn't bite all the baits that were given to him. Like the fish, right? They just bite the first worm that comes and they get caught. They don't wait for the worm that's not attached to the hook, the one that's crawling on the ground there. So they get caught. But he didn't get caught from all the traps. Even the Lord himself set him up. He didn't bite, didn't take any of the traps. So he got the highest benediction. And Maya is going to test every one of you. Do you want fame? Do you want power? Even sometimes you may get taken to Swargaloka. Here you go. Would you like to live in this heavenly environment? Like, wow, this is not so bad. All right, here you go. We can set you right up. Here's your room. Here's your... All kinds of options can be provided by the devas, by the mystic, by the material energy, even by Krishna, right? Even the gopis went to Krishna and then he said, what are you doing here in the middle of the night? You should go back home. The gopis, they didn't go. But when he told the same thing to the wives of the brahmanas, you shouldn't be here, you should go back, serve your husband, everything. So he convinced them. See, even Krishna, he throws curveballs, right? Even Krishna, sometime he just attests the devotee. Well, I'll give you a place in Vaikuntha, or I'll give you a place in the Brahmajyoti, or I'll give you this or that. The devotee has to be really clear. Everyone is going to offer you anything except for pure devotion, pure love of Krishna. But don't take anything short of that. Don't sell out. If you keep your final goal, I want pure love for Krishna, you will get it by Krishna's mercy. And that's why Vishnu said that My devotees, even if I offer them a place to live on my planet or buy a form like me, they won't take it if it doesn't include my devotional service. You know, sometimes they say, well, I want you to come to Golok with me. He said, do I get to do some service for you there? I don't want a ticket to Golok and just hang out in the outskirts. I want to be able to serve you. If there's service to do, then they'll go to anywhere the Lord wants. But if there's no service, they don't want it. I'll serve even anywhere. Without your service, I don't want to exist. So that's why Krishna said, give up, sarva dharman pradita, give up all other duty, keep your duty fixed, I want to serve Krishna. And if you have that as your final goal, like Prahlad is fixed, they will lead you right to Krishna. There's nowhere else that you can go where you'll be satisfied. So eventually Krishna, he's there to fulfill, help the devotees, help everyone fulfill their desire. So if we fix our desire to be with Krishna, serving him, to serve Krishna, he'll fulfill that. Of course, in the meantime, to achieve that, we need help from the Vaishnavas, we need help from a bona fide guru, we had to follow the Shastra. So this is very, but this is, we should fix what is our final goal. And this is what's missing. This is why Krishna consciousness is special. Because you look at all the religions, you look at all the processes, and nobody knows what is the final goal. They all fix up at some much lower level. Be good, you know. God, give us this day our daily bread. So whatever, they fix up at some goal, materially being happy and devoted to God. They, some karma mishita bhakti, jnana mishita bhakti, some mixes there, even amongst the religious people. But Lord Chaitanya is telling us, devotional, pure devotional service to Radha Krishna, to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, pure love of Godhead, that is the final, ultimate goal of life. We should fix our target on that. Anything which is not an obstruction in the path that we can help us in that path, we should take it. But if there's something which is simply going to take us away from achieving that goal, then we should reject it. And we make a few wrong turns on the way, then we had to, you know, it's like sometimes the airplane gets blown off course. They have to realign their radar, and then, you know, from the new location, again, they have to go towards the destination. Sometimes we may make mistakes. We may get blown off course. We realize, oh, I made a mistake. I blew it. I should never have done that. Okay, but now, realign my, you know, my steering, whatever, and head back on course, back to pure devotion. So even though there may be a few missteps along the way, if we keep our focus right, and we're careful not to make the same mistake, to take the help of Guru and Vaishnava and Shastra, then by Krishna's mercy we'll achieve it. Yitai go sitanat pemarandi hari hari bo. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any question?
Yes. The other day we heard about the Gauranga Nagaris, that they tried the relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was not authorized. My question is, what authorized classes or relationships do Lord Chaitanya want to develop, because he's in a special mood?
Lord Chaitanya, we always approach the Lord in the mood of servitude. Servitorship, trying to assist him. We are the das anudas, servant of the Lord. And then from there, and once we enter into the, at this point where it is servitorship, if somebody enters into the pastimes of the Lord, if one is, with Krishna, there's a conjugal relationship. But with Lord Chaitanya, maybe a few people are his parents and elders in the village, and some people might be his friends and something, classmates in the school. Just like Lord Nityananda, he had his cowherd boyfriends that came as his associates. But those are all ones who are already reinstated within the pastimes. From this position, we approach the Lord in dasya. And if we try to speculate and do other things,
this very precarious, very dangerous. We should approach Indus, yeah, and then the Lord will elevate us according to our relationship with Krishna. Then we are appropriately fixed. But even if someone's in a conjugal relationship with Krishna, with Lord Chaitanya, they're still assisting him in his pastimes, in spreading the Harinam, because the Lord himself is the mood of devotee.
Kula Vichasrita, who was he in Krishna Lila?
Apparently he also went to, it says that he also went to the house of Yasoda and had a similar pastime. He went there and provided vegetables and things for Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj. So it's, he has a, sometimes devotees have this kind of like unique seva. Like there's a one devotee who would always go, well, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm merging the two pastimes. The one who comes and offers the food and then the brahmana and then the Lord Chaitanya used to come and take. It said he did the same thing in Krishna Lila, and that Lord little Krishna came and eat the offering, and he would get upset. And then Krishna reveals himself. That was the, he does it every time. It's like a regular Kola Vichasrita. I'd have to look it up. I'm sorry, I'm not 100% sure, so I shouldn't. Gorgon Adesha Deepika says who all these personalities are. But there are many small, many players in the pastimes, and everyone gets mentioned in Krishna Lila, but then they come back in Chaitanya Lila, and then they may be in a more prime role, more visible role. Yes, Manuji?
Is this Mahaprakash pastime, is it mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita?
It's referred to there. It's mentioned in detail in Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's referred to, there's a verse referring to it. It's mentioned in the purports also. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.